Here at True North, and I lead our Mullaloo location, and it's such a fun thing to be able to come and be here with Merriwa and be with you all and engage in the scriptures together. And I'm looking forward to doing that together in this new series, Easter People, where we're going to be going through some of the stories around the Easter narrative. And last week, I know Pastor Michelle, she came and she looked at Thomas. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the disciples. We're going to be looking at in John, just before what you looked at last week, we're going to be looking at as Jesus first reveals himself to the disciples. And so we're going to do that together. But before we do that, I think we should pray. And let's posture our hearts, posture our minds to engaging in the scriptures and engaging in God's presence this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can be here this morning, and we thank you that we can come and freely worship you. Lord, we can come and lift up songs of praise and adoration to your name. Lord, we get to do that with the people that we love in this room. We get to do that as a tribe of believers, to freely lift up and proclaim your name. May we never lose sight of just how precious that is, that freedom to worship. And God, this morning, as we engage in the scriptures, as we engage in your word, would we be transformed by your word? For every one of us, wherever we're at on the journey, whether we know you deeply or we're yet to know your love and your grace in our lives, Lord, we pray that as we look at this story, that the truth of who you are would ring true for each one of us. We pray, come Holy Spirit, may your presence rest upon each one of our hearts this morning. May we not miss what you would want to speak to us, how you would want to transform us and prepare us for the week ahead. Prepare us for sharing your love and your grace and your light with this world. So we thank you for every person who's gathering in this room, every person who's gathering online, that you have called each one of us for a purpose for the advancement of your kingdom. And may we be lit up today to do that. In your name we pray. Amen. So as I mentioned, we're gonna look at this story. It's in John chapter 20, verse 19. So if you have a Bible, you can turn here with me. And so basically, just before this, Jesus has appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb, and she's a couple of disciples. They know that the tomb's empty, but Mary has seen Jesus. She's spoken to a couple of them. She's like, I saw Jesus. But then this is where they find themselves. This is on the day of the resurrection. This is the evening of Resurrection Sunday. And it says this, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders. They're cowering in a room, basically. They're scared. For fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." We're going to come back to the scripture in just a moment, but I want to ask you, have you ever found yourself in life in a situation where you find yourself in a situation and you're just like, I don't know what the other side of this situation's gonna look like? Like you find yourself in it, and you know that can be trivial things. For me, I went motocross riding the other day, and if you know me, it was a very popular pastime of my growing up. And I went motocross riding the other day, and I don't go very often. I think I would average 1.5 times a year. So I could say I'm a bit rusty, like my motorbike, it's probably true. And I was riding this day, but what you got to know about me, when I go riding, I know that I'm not as fit as I used to be, and I'm not as sharp as I used to be, so I'm less concerned about going fast and winning races, more just about doing the jumps. Does anyone resonate with me with that in here? Like, I feel like, I got one. Yes. And I went motocross riding a few weeks ago, and I was like, number one priority, do all the jumps. And can I tell you, there was many, many times that day where I found myself in the air about 5 meters up on a 15-minute jump thinking, I don't know how this situation's going to turn out. And I prayed, and it turned out all right. But that's just a bit of a trivial one, but I wanted to tell you a bit more of a deeper story. For me, I found myself moments in life, many moments in life, and situations that I'm affected by, situations that others are affected by, that you just don't know what the other side of the situation is going to look like. And for me, one of those moments where I've sort of felt kind of overwhelming anxiety and worry in my life, and sort of just that the uncertainty is the birth of my children. And so we just had, my son was just born, my third child. His name's Ziggy. He's super cute. Everyone agrees. And he's awesome. And so we just had our third kid. But I got to tell you something. And I'm going to look at all the dads in the room. And can we just all agree that it's kind of the scariest moment of our life? When we're not our, maybe for our wife, but like, the moment where you're there and you're just helpless and your wife is giving birth, it's just a bit of a crazy moment. Can we agree on that? Yeah. I felt like I was going to get some no's there. It's a crazy moment. And for me, I remember when my first daughter, Evie, was born. She just turned 5. And so I was pretty young. I was like newly married. We had kids straight away. And so she was coming along. And so it was a bit of one of those moments that I kind of didn't really know what to expect. I was like, this young guy, baby's on the way. And I remember the day that she was born, my wife went into labor on a Friday night. I'd been out. I was the youth pastor, one of the youth pastors at the time. I was hanging out. I went home, and she started laboring through the night. And so she's labored, and we kind of get to this point within the night, and I'm sort of getting a little bit tired myself. You know, poor me. And I'm getting a little bit tired, and she's laying on the bed. She's been laboring for a while, and then the midwife comes out, and they check her, and they're like, cool, you're fully dilated, so we're going to give you the hour. I think they call it the hour for descent. Where's Carly? I need some help. And then, you know, you've got to wait an hour. And so I was like, hey, you're doing a great job. Do you mind if you just have a quick nap? And what you got to know about me is I can sleep at any time, anywhere, like that. And so I was like, hey, I'm just going to have a lie down. So I'm laying in the windowsill, super uncomfy, poor me again. And I'm laying there, and she's like, yeah, that's fine. So she's laying on the bed. We're waiting for the hour to come up, and I'm gone instantly. And I'm so tired by this point because it's like the early hours of the morning. So I've gone straight into like the deepest sleep that you can go. And, you know, I woke up. I didn't wake up. I was not going to wake up for like 24 hours. I was so gone. And then my wife, Taylor, she starts calling out to me saying, hey, Riley, it was time to push. And she's going, Riley. And I'm not waking up. I'm gone. Like, I'm completely gone. This windowsill, as comfy as it is, it's a good bed. And I'm asleep. And she's calling out, Riley. And she has to start getting louder and louder and louder until she's like, Riley! And I'm just, I'm asleep, but I wake up and I look around. And you know those moments where you're so disorientated and you don't know where you are? And I look over and she's like, Riley. And I look at her and she's like, it's time for me to push. And I was like, cool, give me a second. And I walked out of the room and I stood in the corridor and I bent over and I hyperventilated and I had a full-blown panic attack, nearly passed out. And the midwife comes up to me and she says, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm great. Let's do this thing. I composed myself and I went back in. And my wife, she never let me live that down because she's like, you're not the one having birth to a baby. And so I say, this is one of those moments in life where you don't know how it's going to turn out. There is a lot of worry around the birth of a child, and you know that it's I'm grateful that it worked out, but you know there's situations where it doesn't. So I'm finding myself in this situation where I don't know how it's going to turn out, and I've got to kind of rest on peace in that moment, rest on the presence of God in that moment, because we don't see how it's going to turn out. And in life, we can all agree on that we're all going to find ourselves in situations where we don't know what the other side looks like. Often we want the situation that we might find ourselves in to change, and sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. But Jesus' promise for our life is not that everything's going to be okay. Jesus' promise in our life is always that He will be with us through every situation. His promise is that in the end, it will all be okay, and we'll all be with Him in His presence. So I want to ask us this question this morning. How can we find peace when we don't know what's on the other side of uncertainty? How can we find peace when we find ourselves in a situation that we can't see changing, that we don't know how it's going to turn out? How can we find peace? You know, sometimes we might look for it in earthly things. We might think, you know, if I can try to control this situation, or if I can, if it's struggle with finances, maybe I just got to work harder and get a better job, or whatever it may be. There's often ways that we'll try to fix it ourselves. But when we truly find ourselves in hard situations, there is nothing in this earth that really can bring peace to our lives. So how do we find peace in these circumstances? We're going to come back to the disciples, because they find themselves in a very, very tricky situation. And what I want to do this morning is I want to try to get us in the mind of the disciples, where they're at in this moment, exactly kind of how they're feeling. We're never going to fully comprehend how they're feeling in the moment, but I'd like to try and get us there. Is that okay? Try and get us in the headspace. And so the disciples, we know they've been hanging out with Jesus for 3 years. And many of them have left everything to follow Him. They've left jobs, they've left security, they've left everything to follow Jesus. They've given it all up and they've been hanging out with Him, and they've become the closest of mates. This is an intimate brotherhood, an intimate group of guys. They're a bunch of best mates. And along this journey for 3 years, they're hearing this guy Jesus talk and teach, and He's saying the most profound things that you've ever heard. He's speaking with such authority and love that it's blowing their mind every day. They're seeing Jesus do miracle after miracle, not just a couple cool little tricks, but He is healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's doing countless miracles, and they're hanging out with Jesus, and they're blown away by who He is, by His character, what He's teaching them, what they're seeing Him do. And they're in love with Jesus. And Jesus told them what He was there to do. He told them of His death, that it was coming. He told them the plan. He told them, he laid it out before them. And a couple nights earlier, from when the disciples find themselves here in this story, Jesus tells them, He's like, hey, you know, I'm going to be arrested tonight. I'm going to be hung on a cross. So He tells them it's about to happen. And they're all like, no, Jesus, we're with you. We're going to stick with you no matter what. Peter's like, I will die with you, Jesus. Like, that's how close, that's how much they loved each other. That's how close that relationship was for all of them. And Jesus is like, hey, you guys, you're all going to abandon me. In the hardest moment, you're not going to be there. And Peter, you're actually going to deny that you even know me. And then, as we know, he's taken away. And at Jesus' most vulnerable moment, his greatest hour of need, his best mates, his closest connections are nowhere to be seen. Jesus is in a heartbreaking, painful moment. And Jesus, as we know, he's put to trial. There's no one there to stick up for him. There's no one there to have his back. The crowds are shouting, crucify him, crucify him. He's tried as a sinner, and he's the only person who's ever lived a perfect life, but he's tried as a sinner. He's beaten, spat on, disfigured, and he's hung on a cross. He dies and he's buried in a tomb, and we find ourselves a few days later here in this story, and the disciples are cowering in a room. They've heard that his body's missing. They're scared of what would happen to them. They've seen what happens to Jesus. They're like, we don't want this. We don't want this to happen to us. They've abandoned him. They've left him, and they're hiding. And they're probably doubting everything. They're probably thinking, we got no idea what's on the other side of this. They're doubting Jesus, even though he said what he was going to do, even though he's laid out promises for them in their life. They're sitting in this in-between space, and they are doubting. But after all this, Jesus shows up, and his very presence brings peace. His presence brings peace. Is there any other reason that the disciples should have felt peace in this moment and felt overjoyed amidst all the worries, the anxieties, the pain, the uncertainty? There's no reason, but Jesus' presence as he steps into that room brings peace. As he appears in that room brings peace. And isn't this just a picture of who Jesus is? That after they've abandoned him, after they're doubting about him and who he said he is, he shows up and he blesses them with the peace of his presence. And he shows up and he says, peace be with you. It's the first thing that he said. And this word peace, it comes from this word shalom. And you've probably heard this word shalom before. And the word shalom, it's a hard one for us to fully wrap our mind around in the English language. But shalom, it means peace to the whole being of who you are. Peace to every facet of your being. And so that's peace to your mind, peace to your heart, peace to your soul, peace within your body, peace to the whole of who you are. And you know, we as a church, we believe that who God has called us to be, the greatest commandment that he's called us is to love him with the whole of our being. And we talk about it all the time, with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, with our strength. Love God with every part of who we are. And it's within this intimate relationship with him, this connection with him, it's the other side of heart, soul, mind, strength, that as we have this intimate relationship with him, we're graced with his peace. We're graced with his presence in our lives. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what uncertainties you might be facing. I don't know what challenges you might be holding on to. You might be holding on to some worries, some anxieties. You might be facing an uncertainty around illness, around finances, around where you're going to live. You might be experiencing hurt. See, Jesus was abandoned by his best mates. And this is a picture of how, in reality, this world can and will let us down. If we put all our hope and all our faith into the things of this world, they can and will let us down at some point. You might be experiencing hurt. You might be, as the disciples probably were in that moment, doubting Jesus altogether. I don't want to oversimplify the challenges of what you might be going through. We know as a church there are some challenges that we are facing together. And I don't want to oversimplify what it might be that you're going through. And I don't want to give just a band-aid fix and say, hey, you know, just Jesus will make it all feel okay. It's not what I want to do this morning. I want to simply convey the truth of the scriptures. is that Jesus loves you. Jesus knows you. Jesus knows where you're at. He died for you. And you can experience a peace that is only found in the presence of Jesus. Only found in the presence of Jesus. Often the most common experience when people encounter the Holy Spirit, when they encounter the presence of God, the most common experience is a sense of peace. The fruit of the Spirit starts with love, joy, peace, and the rest of them sort of fit inside of that, and it's this peace that we feel. For me, as I've just got back from an Alpha retreat, and often through Alpha and church on Sundays, I get the privilege of praying for people to say, come Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would speak and touch hearts and lives. And the most common thing that I hear from people with unprompted is they'll say, as they encounter the Holy Spirit, they'll say, I just feel peace. Nothing else has changed, but I feel peace in their soul. For me, the most common way I feel the presence of Jesus is through His peace. It's a non-circumstantial peace. See, today and every day, you can experience the peace of Jesus in your life. We all can. This peace, it would be easy to just be like, okay, cool. And stop there and just be like, this is a nice thing for me. I'm going through some challenges. I need the peace of Jesus. I encountered this Holy Spirit and I feel peace. And he's like, cool, that feels good. I'm going to go about my day. But that's not what Jesus leaves them with. His peace, his shalom, is something that we receive, and it's something that he calls us to share with the world. It says, Jesus said again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And that can be a confusing passage, because if we know the scriptures, we know Jesus, we don't have the authority to forgive sins. Only he has the authority to forgive sins. What he's really saying here is he's commissioning the disciples to go out, to share the peace, to share his love, and to be a testimony, to be a witness of who he is and what he's done. And he's in saying this, he's kind of saying, hey, you're going to know if somebody accepts the forgiveness of their sin or not. You're going to know. But what he's calling them to do is go out and bear witness to who he is and what he has done. As followers of Jesus, as we receive the peace, as we receive his Holy Spirit, we are commissioned to bear witness to others. It's not something for us to hold on to. It's not something for us to keep to ourselves. How can a group of people who are in one moment cowering in a room become the greatest the leaders of the greatest movement the world has ever known? In this moment, nothing changes and everything changes. They're still going to face the challenges that they're going to face. Their situation was still the same. All but one of them was going to become a martyr. They're still going to face hard times, but they did it all through the power and the peace of the presence of Jesus. When we receive the peace of Jesus, maybe nothing will change on the outside. But everything that we ever receive from him, we're all called to share, to be a testimony, to be a testament, to bear witness to who he is and what he's done. I'm going to invite the team to come back up and have some time in a moment to pray over these things, to encounter and experience this peace. How can we find peace when we can't see the circumstance changing? We can find it in the presence of Jesus. But we always got to share that. Even when the situation doesn't look like it's changing, Even when we don't know what the other side is going to look like, we don't wait till everything turns out all right. We share the peace within that situation. We find the peace in the presence of Jesus. So how might we do that? And we talk about it so often here as a church to set up habits and rhythms in our lives, because we can't just come to church on a Sunday and sing some songs and feel a nice feeling and go about our weeks. The peace of Jesus is something that we can experience every day as we walk with Him in relationship with Him. And so that means we've got to set up habits, we've got to set up rhythms in our life that draw close to Him. And sometimes that idea can seem hard. Sometimes that idea of habits, reading the Bible, I don't know how to read the Bible, I don't know how. We can start in some pretty simple places. If we want to experience the presence of God every day, we can set aside 5 minutes and say, hey, I'm going to be still. And often, sometimes when people think, I want to start praying regularly, they think, I've got to set aside half an hour and pray the whole time and have a bunch of things to say. If you want to start resting on the presence of Jesus, if you want to start meditating on His grace, meditating on His love, you can start with 5 minutes a day, and 4 minutes and 55 seconds of that can be silence. You pray, come Holy Spirit, speak to me today. It's as simple as that. It's where we start, and as we grow in our faith, as we grow in our habits, we can change that, we can expand that. But I want to encourage you today, if you feel like you kind of stumble over to a Sunday and you experience the presence of God on a Sunday and then tank's dry by the end of the week, we all have the capacity to rest on the presence of Jesus together. We walk with Jesus. That's how we can experience. We create habits. That's why we talk about it so often, why it's so important. But also, we've got to share this peace, as I've mentioned. We've got to take it out there. And can we be honest for a moment? Sharing Jesus can be a bit scary. Can be a bit hard. Can we get a nod on that? Can be a bit of a challenge. We don't want to do it. We don't know what's on the other side of the conversations that we might have. But when it comes to sharing who Jesus is, what He tells the disciples to do is go and be a witness of what you've seen me do and who I am, what you've experienced in me. So if you want to share what Jesus has done, who Jesus is to people, if you want to share the peace that people can experience, we start with asking ourselves, what has Jesus done for me? What has He done for me? And you tell that. Be unashamed. This is what Jesus has done in my life. Let me tell you about it. Your testimony is the greatest tool that you have for advancing the kingdom of God. It's the greatest tool. And then alongside that, as we share what He's done in our life, we can invite people to things. You know, we've got Easter coming up. It's a great way to invite people in. We talk about inviting people to Alpha, not because we want to fill up a course, but because we care that people would come and experience the peace of Jesus. Presence of God.